Hi, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. I'm Dan, and with me is Andrew.
Yay! This is like a long time coming collaboration.
For real. I feel like we talked about this, I don't know, a year ago at least, probably.
Yeah, it was at least, it was like end of 2019, beginning of 2020, sometime around then, I feel like, was when the initial message happened that we were like, we need to do this.
Yeah, no, I know. It's been a while coming, but I'm glad it is happening. So if you don't know Andrew formerly co-hosted Good Game, Great Game, which ended about a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Like just over a year ago. Yeah. Yeah. That's about right.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. So just over a year ago, Good Game, Great Game ended. It's a good podcast. The episodes are still up. I listened to one yesterday that was a lot of fun. So highly recommend go checking it out. It did a similar style of like a game per episode for the most part. So if you want to hear some deep dives into games by Andrew and his co-host Zach and Kevin, highly recommend that. Also, you can hear Andrew on Games and Groceries pretty regularly. I feel like you've been on there nearly 10 times at this point. You're getting close if you're not there.
Yeah, yeah, I'm working my way into the, I'm stealing one of their hosting spots. I haven't decided who yet.
One of them is gone. That's amazing. Yeah, I feel like you are, if it was a TV show, you'd be a recurring cast member now.
Absolutely. I need billing in the title sequence at this point.
Yeah, you're at minimum, like, it's like, you know, the credits roll and then it says also starring Andrew. Like, I feel like you're you're in a
Yeah, it's like that last one where they always do the thing where they're like and featuring James Earl Jones as Darth Vader, and I'm like that extra one where I'm like the evil villain and I get a special card with my name on it.
Yeah, no, you, yeah, for real, you have a card for sure, or need to, well earned of it for sure. But yeah, that's Andrew. We're here to talk about a game called Last Day of June.
Yeah,
so that should be a lot of fun. I guess first we've got a description for it. Andrew, would you want to get that description?
Sure, let me scroll up on the page. I'm doing great, I'm already in it. All right, so Last Day of June. Join Carl and June on what begins as a magical outing to their favorite spot and try to unlock the sequence of events that could save the day and June's life in this cinematic experience that will compel you to ask yourself, what would I do to save the one I love?
Cool. A little background on the game too. It was developed by Ovo Sanoko, this is their second game. They have another one called Murasaki Baby, which I've never heard of, but am interested in after playing this.
Yeah.
And then also, this game was based on a song called Drive Home by Steven Wilson. And the song, the lyrics fall pretty strongly in line with the game. I listened to it earlier today. It's a pretty good song. And then, interestingly enough, Steven Wilson ended up being the composer for this game.
Hmm. I like that a lot.
Yeah. Cool that it was like, hey, I like this song a lot. I'm starting to make a game off it. Would you want to make the music for that game? Like, that's a pretty cool, I don't know, creative backstory, I guess.
Yeah. And I like the idea that it's like a song inspired, like, you know what I mean? Something was kind of your muse that was the impetus to create a story. And then you reached out to that person and let them be a part of the creation of that while they were your inspiration. That's like really cool, like circle of life artistry stuff.
100%. Yeah. I when I read that, I was like, that's so cool. A cool origin. I thought that was awesome. Before we get into the game, like recapping it, I wanted to ask you. So the description there, we learn a bit more about the game than I knew heading in.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know anything about the game before playing? Nope. Or did you just kind of jump in?
I just downloaded it on the Nintendo eShop and went in completely blind.
Okay, cool. Me too. I'd heard that this game was good, that it had a good story. And so I threw it on a list and I saw it went on sale and bought it. So I didn't know anything about it. I assumed this had to do with the month of June ending. So
likewise, I also thought that's what was going to happen.
Okay, cool.
I'm well, because also they never give you the names of the characters, actually. So you don't even know that her name is June.
Oh, okay. Wow. That makes sense. I probably got that from a walkthrough or something that got their names, actually.
Yeah. Unless, like, they did, like, a sequence where they did show the names and I just, like, blacked out for a second. That's also possible.
No, yeah, same. If it was there, I totally missed it. Because I was like, oh, cool, this is going to be kind of a nice story of, like, I don't know, living in a small town. Summer is, you know, just starting. Like, that sort of thing. Instead, it was far more tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Okay, so we're coming in at the same place. I think that's good. I imagine that we probably went through similar turbulence, because...
I'm almost glad that I came in blind. Just, I mean, we'll go through it as we talk through, but, like, I feel like it let me go on the full journey that the narrative wants to take you through by not having any preconceived notions about what was going to happen, you know?
100%. I agree. I think that this game, if I would have known more about it, maybe would have... not gone as far for me, but because I didn't know anything, I was just ready to kind of experience everything it brought, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Okay, good. That's good background to get. So I guess with that, we'll jump into kind of our recap of the game, what's gone on in it, and whatnot. The game begins, and Carl and June are sitting by a lake. They almost look like... I don't know, like Peanuts characters, kind of.
Yeah, they were some mix of like Peanuts, and then like with the indented eye sockets and no eyes gave me like Tim Burton vibes, like Nightmare Before Christmas-esque things. So I was like simultaneously like, this is charming and like a little creepy.
Right. Yeah. I felt the same way. Charming, a little weird. They also don't speak... at all, really. I mean, they'd speak in like Animal Crossing, basically.
Right.
So exactly. Is that you, Carl? Yeah, that's how they speak. So they don't speak particularly, and there's not like subtitles that translate them. It's just that's sort of what happens. Right. And also, the game is pretty like brightly colored, I would say too.
Yep.
And so you're experiencing this sitting at the dock next to the lake, and you're like, wow, this seems charming. It looks pretty nice. And I felt pretty put at ease. I was like, okay, this is going to be like a nice, cool 2-hour indie game.
Right. Yeah, it just seemed chill. It seemed like it was going to be kind of like simple, which I'm fine with. Like, to be clear, when I say simple, I'll probably use it a lot to describe this game because it is in many ways, but I never mean that as an insult. That's a wonderful thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's definitely simple in a good light, or, yeah, like kind of the tranquility kind of thing going on. It's just like,
yes.
Okay, this is nice. So Carl goes and he leaves the dock to go pick a flower for June.
Or if it's my Carl, he leaves the dock and picks 4 different flowers for June. And I'm sure she's like, okay, you've given me one. You can stop now.
This is enough, Carl. Sit down.
I honestly like had this instinct where I was like, the color of the flower I give her in the end is going to determine something. So I got real weird already.
Oh, man. I didn't even think of that.
It didn't change a thing.
The flower didn't impact. You find a flower and you give it to her. It's nice. Then she surprises Carl with a present and is like, shows him, I got this for you. And this triggers a flashback, which is the first of many flashbacks. This comes up a bunch through the rest of the game after this. But it triggers a flashback and an old man stops by their house and gives a present to June. Carl, meanwhile, is asleep on the chair in the front room. And so June's like, oh, shush, and takes the present. And then you spend a bit of time going around the house trying to find a good place to hide the present to surprise Carl when he wakes up. I'm guessing it's his birthday, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Or I have to imagine that the present is something particularly meaningful to him. Or them as a couple. That's kind of what my guesses were, but it never actually gets revealed. So I guess it's sort of up to your imagination.
Yeah, I guess, that's true. I guess it could be like an anniversary type present or something like that. And so June
I was kind of like, it's something like that. Or maybe the other thing that I wonder is if it's something to do, it's like a pregnancy present. Something for the baby. Because then I'm wondering if maybe... Carl even knows she's pregnant yet, which we don't find out till much later. So maybe this is her way of announcing it to him. I don't know. I have so many like head theories that like the game leaves wide open for interpretation. So it's very fun the ways my imagination played with this.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I hadn't thought of that. That this could be, she was going to announce it to him at this, like, you know, the old man gave baby clothes or something like that. Oh my gosh.
Right. Something like that.
Wild. Either way, whatever's going on, Carl's getting a meaningful present. So June's going around the house trying to find places and keeps kind of finding one and it's not working. It's like, oh, I'll try the table. That didn't work. What about this counter? That's not really quite right. And she goes upstairs and into the office. She sees a photo of the doc. That's a framed photo on the desk. So obviously this was a meaningful location for them. And so she says, that's our spot. I'm going to give them the gift at the dock, you know, where, you know, whatever happened in their past that's meaningful enough to be framed. I mean, that's a big deal.
Right. Definitely.
So from here, we flip back to the present and it starts to rain while they're on the dock. So Carl doesn't open his present and they both run back to the car to escape the rain. They get in. Carl jumps in the driver's side, June in the passenger side, and it's starting to pour. It's, I don't know, really coming down, and it seems like they even have kind of uncertainty as to should we be driving in it, like it's really coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But they decide to start the car up, and you see them drive forward, and then we cut to a new scene. Carl wakes up in his house in the chair. It's dark, and then he moves to his side and pulls out a wheelchair.
Yep.
What happened? You have this sudden, what?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely like this thing of like the game is showing you in a way that lets you basically slowly piece together like, oh no. Yep. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was just like, all right, like this moment like really drew me in more,
right? Because, you know, first you're like, why is it dark? And then you're kind of like, oh, I wonder where June is. Like, she's not in her chair, Carl's just in his. And then he pulls out the wheelchair and then he's kind of like going around the house sad and you're like, oh no, oh, now I know why, oh no.
Yeah, your heart just instantly sinks. At this moment I was like, oh my gosh, like, all right, this game is even more than I imagined already. Like I'm like pulled in a whole nother level, because, you know, before this, just been expecting something sort of nice and all of that, and you're like, oh fuck, okay, this is gonna get heavy. So from here, Carl goes to look for food around the house. As he's going around the house, he finds a can, but he doesn't have his can opener, so he goes into another room that was formerly June's art studio to find the can opener there. He gets it, but when he goes in there, a portrait of June, a self-portrait, comes down. There's like a cloth over it, and the cloth falls down, and he sees her and is sort of struck, and he's like, ah, like, you get the vibe that he's been probably living in a daze for a while, which,
yeah,
makes a lot of sense. His life is really fucked up.
I'm also going to say that I just now, literally when you said it, realized that that was a can opener. I was literally like, oh yeah, what's this thing that she's bringing over for it? What is that? Is it? And then because he was leaving it in the art room, I was like, it's some weird painting supply that I, as a non-artist, don't know what it is. But you're right, it's definitely a can opener.
That's amazing.
Oh, I'm smart. All right.
And so you see the portrait and you have this option. Then you hit remember. Carl like touches the painting and it evidently gives him a chance to go back, basically. Mm-hmm. So he hits remember and you see a flashback of the day where it happened. So you see a boy who has a ball go down the hill. The kid runs after it. You see the car coming towards them and that they swerved out of the way to not hit the kid. Have the car accident that got us where we are.
Right.
Quick reveal of this and you're like, okay, this is real bad. I'd put it together in my head that this is probably what happened, but then to see it is just kind of another dose of like, heaviness.
Yep.
After this, the June portrait actually changes. It turns into a soccer ball and then it fades. Then we see the other portraits around the room light up. There are portraits of the kid, the best friend, the hunter, and the old man. So these are the four other characters in the game who live in their, it's not even a town, it's smaller than that, but whatever you'd call
it. Yeah, it's like a village at best.
Right, yeah, village at best, because it's like there's a couple houses. It's very tiny. But each character that was there, their portraits light up, and then from here, Carl goes outside, and he walks through these memories of him and June, of times they had around their little village. And so you see them, they're sort of grayed out almost, and you can go up to them and you see, oh, this is where they, June drew this painting on this like gazebo, or this other memory mm-hmm. where they did this thing or that thing. And so you go to each one and you're just seeing, wow, they've had, a really good relationship, and you got to see all of these like good memories they had together in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this just seems like kind of the start of like how they met each other, the things that they've done together, the life that they started, the way they started to build their life together, basically.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And then from here, after Carl does his kind of round of that, he heads back inside and he uncovers the portrait of the kid. This then gives you the opportunity to go back to the kid's day of that day. So Carl takes a hold of the portrait and he travels back to the accident. And what you kind of see happening is what that day was like from the kid's vantage point. So you see him trying to get different people to play with him. He goes to Carl, he's got a soccer ball, and he's like, play with me. Carl's too busy, he doesn't want to. He goes to the hunter to try to get him to play. Again, same thing. He goes to the best friend. She doesn't want to either. No one will. He sees the old man and he's asleep. So then the kid goes up to his treehouse, and you just see him kind of sadly sitting there, and you feel bad for him. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, it's a small village. There's like four of you and there's clearly one child and none of you can bother to play with him. Also, where are his parents? What's happening here?
that's a good question. I part of me thought that maybe like the hunter's his dad and best friend is his mom, but maybe not. I don't know. It doesn't make sense with the rest of what goes on, but that's what I'd kind of thought at first.
Yeah.
But yeah, good question. Where is his parents? This doesn't, this doesn't make sense. But I think again, without having words or any of these things, you could recognize and feel that feeling of like, I don't know, wanting someone to play with you, wanting someone to be involved with you, and then them not having time for you, and you just yep. kind of feeling shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up as like an only child. My cousin was kind of raised as my brother, but when I moved to West Virginia, then I lived an hour and a half away from him, so it was like he was my brother that lived in a different state instead. So like, yeah, I spent a lot of time as a kid playing by myself. This is very familiar for me.
Yeah, no, yeah, totally. I feel like I have experiences that line up with that. And it like took you back to that spot. Like I truly felt that of like, I know how you feel, kid. This sucks. Like,
mm-hmm.
So from here, the kid goes around, and what you find out is kind of the main mechanic in the game is that you can find memories that you can have that day that sort of fill up your character. So the kid's got five memories that are scattered throughout the village. And some of them you can get to easily. Other ones need involvement from another character to kind of bypass it. So, for instance, the kid, his, like, main, move, if it were, is he has a soccer ball and he can throw it at flower pots to knock them over. And then he can, like, sneak behind the fence that's behind them or whatever. And so...
Right.
he's kind of got that going on, and so he's able to get you into some areas because of that unique skill versus the best friend and the hunter. They're both adults, so they can, like, open doors that are bigger. The hunter has a gun, so he can shoot things that kind of change stuff. But this introduces you to this first mechanic. The kid then goes around and starts to find some of the memories that ultimately change the actions of his day, that can prevent him from ultimately having the ball that rolls into the street.
I also, like, definitely had the very frustrating experience of, okay, great, I'm learning that this ball can knock down flower pots. Let me go explore the town and knock down all the flower pots. And, like, I'm a big exploration person and always want to find all the memories. And, like, that was my thing. But then I saw a dog, so I wanted to play with the dog. And the minute you start playing with the dog, your ball is now locked into playing with the dog, which means I was locked into killing June again.
Oh, no.
So it was, like, really terrible. I was like, no, dog, no, give me the ball back. No. She's gonna die. It was like the most tragic first run through of the kid that I could possibly have had.
You're like, wait a minute, I want to play with this dog.
So then I ended up just having to go back through the kid a second time before I was able to properly, like, fix anything.
That's great. That's funny. Playing with the dog is fun. I like this dog. It was, again, for being a simple game like we talked about earlier, even just seeing this dog and, like, the kid playing with him and the kid laughing, you're like, I like this a lot. This is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, kind of how the kid's story goes is also on any playthrough with any of these characters, you can't get all five memories in one go. A lot of them are blocked where it's like you could get maybe two memories or three, but then to get the other ones, you kind of need to play as the next character to, for instance, for the kid, open a door he can't get behind, but then on your playthrough with someone else, you could open it and then the door's still open and the kid can go there, kind of thing.
Yeah, it was a cool discovery to learn that when one character changed anything in the world, it was permanent for all of the characters. So it was like, okay, once you start playing as the best friend, it's like, great, any gates that I open are now, like, open.
Yeah, that was cool. I liked that a lot. I thought that that made, for me, notoriously, I'm not a big puzzle guy. I don't tend to like them. I really liked this puzzle. I thought this was a lot of fun and was, like, interesting to figure out, like, oh, okay, so if I can get this one, if this gate open, then I can go get this balloon with this character or whatever, like, or not balloon, but memory. They felt like balloons, yeah, in, like, a Mario game to
they
me.
Did because they kind of popped.
yeah it felt like that. It was like, pop, okay, I have this memory, I've secured it, kind of thing. Yeah, ultimately the kid's day results in that he finds his kite and he gets a piece of rope from the old man and they fly the kite together. So we did it, we saved the day. We fly.
Yay.
The kite.
The game's over. What a good game.
The game's over. We saved it. We saved June. Fly the kite. So the boy is no longer there with his ball to roll down the hill to cause the car accident. However, the car accident still happens. What we see then instead is that the best friend, she's driving her pickup truck and she's packed all her stuff up and she's leaving. And it's not harnessed together, so all of her shit falls out of her truck. She's out there trying to gather her things. The car comes, Carl and June come, they skid out of the way to not hit her. You're back at square one.
Yep.
From here, you get an interlude that sort of happens between each character, which is Carl wakes up from his, like, going back in time through the portrait, and he goes back outside and sees more kind of memories or things of him and of June. This one comes up and it's him seeing June with their baby. So you see her being pregnant. I think in this one too, you maybe see it's implied she loses the baby.
Yeah, I believe, I don't know if it's in this set or the next set. This is definitely, like, where you see that she got pregnant and they started buying a crib and, like, doing that kind of stuff. But yeah, at some point in these memories, then we kind of get the sense that, like, oh, yeah, it didn't go well. Like, the pregnancy was probably a miscarriage or something along those lines, and they were very sad.
Oh, yeah. And so, again, getting more backstory to these characters. Yeah, rough stuff. And from here, you move on to your next portrait, which is of the best friend. This is of a woman who's June's age, and I guess her best friend. And her day starts off. So then we go and relive her day of that day. And the best friend is secretly in love with Carl. She has a scrapbook with pictures, and then she's got hearts next to Carl all over.
My favorite thing is that my brain interpretation of this, until I started reading things after I'd finished the game and online, like, everyone was referring to her as the best friend, I thought she was his ex.
Oh.
Like, I literally just went all in on, like, oh, they dated, they broke up, okay, and that colored this so interestingly, because it was, like, this thing of, like, she was the, like, scorned ex, and Carl was, like, oblivious and dating this new girl, and I was like, well, Carl's kind of rude.
That's funny, yeah, Carl, because when Carl, one of the things that happens on that day is that she comes over to their house and returns the can opener. And
right.
Carl's kind of like, oh, okay, cool. See ya. Like, feels the ex. Yeah, that's super dickish.
Yeah, I thought it was this very much like she was trying to do like this meaningful interaction to be like, you know, I would like you back. And Carl's like, okay, bye.
Oh, man. That's
so
funny.
Yeah, my headcanon for this game was really fun.
No, that's a wild. I like that, though. I think that's kind of a fun way this can go, because I feel like with this game, since there's so much they don't like spell for you, you can kind of take it yeah. where you wish.
Yeah, that's kind of the freedom of writing a narrative with zero dialogue to it.
Totally. Yeah, but yeah, so she's secretly in love with Carl, but has decided, I need to move on. I can't live here any longer. It's too hard for me. Which makes a lot of sense. I feel like this would be a pretty hard situation to be in, to live in a small village with your best friend and their spouse who you love. Like, that would be mm-hmm. super challenging. And it even makes sense for her actions earlier. It's like, oh, I can see why you can't play with the kid. You've got this big thing going on. You're gonna move.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You've decided today's the day. Like, I'm gonna work up the courage to pack all my shit into my truck, and I'm just gonna go because this is too hard and I want to try to start a new life. Like, okay, I really empathize with you. I understand now.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't have an exact parallel, but I definitely had, like, a friend, a very close friend, who, like, I was in love with in college. And I think he was oblivious to that and was just, like, dating people all the time, and I was just, like, there, sad.
No, yeah, and how hard that is, because you've got that tension, right, of like, I'm your friend, I really care about you, on the other hand,
yeah.
like, I care about you in this way that you either don't feel or don't get, and
right,
that's hard being me, like, totally. And so, again, for the best friend, you do follow a similar sequence to the kid, which is going and finding memories to try to change your day. There is a way you can end up with the rope that the kid was using to fly his kite. You end up going to the old man before that, and they're like, hey, could I have that rope? They say yes. And so, as the best friend, you're able to secure your stuff on your truck, but then the kid ends up back in the street. So you solved one
right,
problem,
right.
but you reopened the old one.
Yeah, it started to become this interesting thing where it was like, okay, I see how we're going to have to kind of slide the pieces of the puzzle around, because you had to, like, go back to the kid and, like, not... Because if you go over while the old man is flying the kite with the kid, he's like, no, you can't have the rope. We're using it. Who are you? Like, that kind of thing. So it was, like, interesting to then have to go back to the kid for a second and be like, all right, let me play with the ball again so I kill her in order to, like, solve the best friend issue.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly. It felt like you're on a, like, a sinking ship and you, like, put your finger in one hole to stop the leak, but then it's, like,
right.
you took it out of a different one. It feels very like that, and you're like, okay, how can I work these puzzles, like, to make this day work out? Like, I want it to work out. How can I do it?
Yeah. And this is kind of where you get like the setup of what the gameplay is really gonna parse out to be, is that the narrative is like, okay, I need to find the right, like, clearly there's, you know, you're seeing the four cards, the four pictures that were in June's art studio before, and so you're like, all right, so I'm gonna end up going through four characters and I'm gonna have to like basically find the right combination of activities for the day to save her. And so that's when you're kind of like, okay, great, I'm full in on the puzzle game, I get what we're doing, let's go.
Yep, 100%. And that click moment is great. You're like, okay, I know what this is now. I know what I have to do. I know specifically what I want to look for, and even starting to have in mind what character is the one who can get me around something. Like,
right.
It's great. You're like, oh, okay, so I'm going to do this. Then if I do this thing with the kid, that will let me in here. And then, you know, this person will be able to do this or whatever. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yep. I will say that the best friend was the one character I did not find all five memories for. I don't know if I just, like, forgot or if I didn't see them or I don't know. I never found all her memories.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I figured it wouldn't let you forward if you didn't find them all.
Nope, it doesn't actually seem to have hindered anything. I couldn't find, like, two of them, so I was like, okay.
Wow, that's crazy. I ended up... I bet the ones you couldn't find were the ones I couldn't find, and I looked up a walkthrough because I thought I couldn't go further.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, what's the other one? I don't know where it is. There's one that...
Yeah, I was figuring it would be easy because they're, like, when you're in the character that picks them up, they're, like, blue and shiny. So they kind of stick out. So I was like really surprised that I didn't see them.
No, there's one that's like up a hill that you wouldn't find. Like you have to like, yeah, it's like you don't go there. And under any other circumstance, I wouldn't have found it without a walkthrough. But
yeah,
it's something where
I never walk up hills. So
I don't do that.
that's above me, literally.
That's amazing. Okay, so from here, we move on to the hunter. And when you meet the hunter for that day, what you'd seen him do previously is running around chasing a bird, shooting a gun. And I don't know if you reacted the way I did, but I was like, man, what an asshole. What is he doing?
Yeah, I was definitely like, well, that's a guy I'm not going to be friends with. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. It was just like, all right, fuck that guy. Like, that's what it felt like. But then you go to how his day started, and what you see is he's got a, I don't know, family shrine, almost, of his family, who all, like, served in the military. He's got their, like, medals out and, like, awards and portraits of them and everything. And a bird flies in and steals the center medal, like the important one for sure.
Yeah.
And flies off with it. And so he's like, oh, fuck, I got to get my family medal back. And so he's chasing this bird, shooting a gun at it, trying to get it. And again, with this guy, I felt like with the previous actions before, I was like, oh, I get that. That's pretty meaningful. You're acting wild, but like, I get it. Like, I wouldn't want to lose that either.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because the more, and especially when you start unlocking his memories, if you look through them, you kind of get the sense that, like, he has spent his whole childhood trying to live up to his father's expectations, and now his father has probably passed, but he's, like, that's so deeply embedded in him that he just wants to, like, uphold his father's legacy and be as good of a hunter as he perceived his dad to be, which is ultimately then something I can relate to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, totally. It's like, oh, you know, my dad thought this was really important. I don't want to totally blow something he cared about.
Like, right. And then it's like, also, if that medal is like your biggest keepsake of a very dear relative who's passed, yeah, you're not going to let some bird fly away with it.
Yeah, not at all. Even if you've got to run around your village shooting at it, you're like, okay, I get you, dude. Like, it makes sense. And so for him, he's running around shooting after the bird. You get introduced to a little more complicated puzzle mechanics here, which was kind of fun, which is it involves calling the dog over. And so you'll like have the dog on one tree. You'll shoot the bird so it can't go to the dog's tree and it'll have to go to a different one.
Yep. But then, of course, before you even do this, you got to go back to the kid and put the kid back on the kite so that he's not playing with the dog because the dog won't come while the kid's playing with him. It was this whole thing where I was like, oh, wow, I've got to really adjust everything, don't I? Interesting.
Yeah, you really had to change the puzzle because there was like a gate you couldn't get past. But if you shoot a tree, the apples fall into a basket on the gate and it makes the gate go up. And it's like a whole thing of like, sometimes on purpose, sometimes accidentally figuring out how the puzzles work and giving you access to a bigger map.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of trial and error of just like calling the dog to trees and hoping that was the next one the bird was going for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the first time I did this one, I called the dog to the wrong tree and my shit just ended right away. Like your one with the kid. I was like, okay, yep, I wasted that day.
It was like, no, you did it bad. Goodbye. They're dead again.
They're dead again. You're like, okay, I gotta do this again. How can I save them? But ultimately, you kind of track the bird, shoot at it, use your dog. Ultimately, you get it to a spot where the bird's had enough. It's tired of being shot at, and it drops the medal off in a bird bath with other baby birds. It's baby birds, I assume. So that's cool. Now you want to try to get there. The path to get there is blocked for you. So you try to go around the side and you walk on this like unsturdy ledge that you shouldn't have walked on and it falls down. Oh no, sorry, that doesn't happen. You do the bird bath. The way your day ends as the hunter is there's a ledge that's over by the road and you're shooting after the bird and you walk onto the ledge begins to crumble, you jump back and the ledge falls onto the road, which then causes the car accident. From here now, you've accessed all three characters, the kid, the best friend, the hunter, and based on each of them, you can use each of them to kind of open up areas for the ones you need. So, for instance, the kid, there are some flower pots he can knock over that give access to the best friend or the hunter the balloons they need, or the hunter can shoot things that end up giving access to the kid or the best friend stuff that they need.
Right. And ultimately, you are able to find, like, once you get all the things done in order, like, there's another rope out by the bird bath so that you now don't have to fight between the kid and the best friend as to who's going to have the rope. So you can, like, then basically put the kid on the kite, have the best friend tie the boxes down on the truck, and then eventually, using the abilities of the other two, get the hunter over to the bird bath where he can get the medal back. And so then it's like, hooray! Did we do it? Are they alive now?
Right. You think, did it work? And it doesn't.
Nope. Then there's like a lightning strike, which is kind of like, oh, I can't change that one.
Right. Yeah. It happens. And you're like, okay, like we can't get out of this. What if we never go on the trip then? Maybe that's it. What if we're not in the car?
Right.
And so you go to the old man. He's dropping off the present. As the old man, you go around and gather your memories. At this point, you basically have free reign of the whole map at this point. So the old man, it isn't doing any puzzles anymore, really. Instead, it's that reality starts to crumble as the old man. So at first, you have to go, you deliver the present, the day happens. The next time, you go to deliver the present, and different parts of the map sort of break, where it's like you can't go just walk straight there. You have to, you know, go in a zigzag or whatever. And then after this, you gather the rest of the memories and reality is crumbling even more. You can't actually go out your front door to deliver the present. You have to go back through your house, through your backyard, zigzag around for a little while before you're ultimately able to deliver the present. So reality is really crumbling here. You like see like the church fall down, like it's a mess.
Yeah, how buildings are like going. This was an interesting part for me because this is where I started to understand the way they were putting the narrative and the gameplay together, in the sense of like, I spent a long time, like I gathered the memories with the old man and then like went over and saw his wife's grave and like blah blah blah, and then I spent a long time, like I did the first one and delivered the present and we saw like, okay, well that didn't change anything, so then it starts you again as the old man. So then, of course, my brain is going, great, the narrative is that we're saving her. The gameplay has been put the puzzle together and find the way to save her. So even though reality was starting to crack and I was seeing that it was like, okay, it's harder to get to the front door of the house, I was wandering the village aimlessly trying to find the other thing he could do. Because there was another, like, the way all the picture frames had the different, like, kind of cards behind them that would slot in depending on which ending you gave each character. I saw that there was another card for the old man, and so I was trying to figure out what the card was. Like, where do I go? Because the narrative had been playing this idea of, like, you just need to, the gameplay is to put the puzzle together and figure out the extra thing that the character does to save her. And then the more I, like, couldn't find anything, that was when it settled in that, oh, the narrative is literally telling you that, like, by trying to save her, you're breaking reality. It's now putting in the point of inevitability. That, like, there's no point to thinking back to the... Like, you know what I mean? That was where I started to really feel the weight of what they were telling with the story. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. That even... That you can't change reality. Like, even if you have all of these people do different things, it's still coming, kind of thing.
Right.
So then from here, you get a sequence where Carl gets to go around to the memories and kind of change all of theirs to be like, okay, the best friend was doing this thing instead. The kid was doing this instead. The old man was doing this instead. The hunter was this. And so you get a sequence of if the quote-unquote perfect day still happened. Then it gives you your quote-unquote new reality happening, which is Carl sleeping, and he doesn't wake up along these things. So, like, one of the things that could wake him up was Carl hitting the house with the soccer ball. But instead, the kid, is off doing something else. And so he doesn't do that. The hunter's gun has been replaced with a confetti gun. So when he shoots it, it doesn't, you know, make a loud bang. It's just confetti. And right. All of these things line up, and Carl sleeps through the day. He's not woken up by these things. Instead, June is interacting with everyone. So when the best friend comes over to return the can opener, before Carl had talked to her, instead, June takes the can opener, and they talk for a while.
Now, the funny thing is here, with my ex context, I thought that was going to be the way to save it, because basically, so I had the kid with the soccer ball, I put him over on the seesaw, so that, like, he would, you know, not wake Carl up, and Carl wouldn't go in, and then I had the best friend come over on the bike, so she would get there sooner, so that she would meet with June, and I thought they were going to fight. and that would like ruin the day. I was like, yeah, that's it. I solved it. They have to fight because that's the X, and then no one will go to the lake.
Oh my
Which
God.
Clearly did not work out.
That's amazing. That's so funny that was your thought pattern.
Yeah, I was still very much in the like, I understood that there was a message of inevitability, but I was also still very much in the, this is a puzzle game. I'm going to solve this puzzle. Like I was like really focused on that.
No, for sure. In that, like, the first three work that way for you. The old man is different, like you said. And mm-hmm. So, kind of seeing that. And what we find is June has all the interactions with the people that day instead of Carl. But then Carl wakes up, and he goes upstairs. He sees the framed picture and is like, hey, let's go to the dock. And June, meanwhile, has the present hidden behind her back. So he does it, and you end up with the same result still, because Carl got them.
Right. It's once again the inevitability thing of, like, they were going to go to the lake. One of them was going to suggest it no matter what. There wasn't a way to stop this.
Right. There isn't a way to stop this. So then Carl wakes up again. He's again on his chair in the living room. He goes over. Then he jumps into his wheelchair, and he heads to the art room. And he destroys the paintings. He's fed up with this. How can't I change this? I've done everything right. Like, I found the memories. I did the stuff I needed to do. Why won't this work? And you feel his frustration too. You're like, I want to save June. What the fuck? Why isn't this happening?
Yeah.
From here, Carl then goes over to the stairs, and they've got an escalator, I guess. Or not an escalator, but a lift. And he puts his wheelchair on it. He goes upstairs, and he goes into the room that was the study, and it's all illuminated. It's all bright. Carl's been in the dark in his house the whole time before this, but he walks into this lit up room, and it's the baby's room. And you have the sense of kind of marvel when you go in, of kind of awe of the baby's room that could have been, almost.
Yeah, it was that weird thing where you were like, okay, I definitely remember seeing that, like, you know, because the memories that we saw before essentially paint the story of, like, this is how Carl and June met. They built their life together. They got pregnant. The baby was lost. It looks like June went into a depression and he brought her out of it with the paintings. So then it's sort of this interesting juxtaposition where you see him destroy the paintings, which in my mind, I was like, no, that's like your last thing of her. Like, I was like freaking out. And then you go upstairs and suddenly it's a baby's room, which was the thing that you thought was lost early on. So there was this really interesting, like, shift in the way reality was manifesting in that moment.
Oh, totally. It's wild. And oh, totally. I felt the same way too with destroying the paintings. I was like, I get how Carl's frustrated there, but I'm like, oh man, that's all you got left. Like, you're going to have buyer's regret. Yeah, I was like really sad. Oh yeah. It's like the things you do when you're that, like, frustrated and hurt, like, oh man, like destroying something like that, like, you'd regret it so much minutes later, you know, kind of thing. But oh, you feel that pain for sure. You're like, this fucking sucks. But seeing this baby's room though, there's a lot, there's like an awe. You're like, what, how is this here? What's happening? How he goes into the baby's room and you see June's notebook, her like sketch pad. You open it and there's drawings of everything you've been doing through the game before this. And you like see the different puzzles you solved, the different actions you took, and then you see them kind of like crossed off as you're going.
Right, which was interesting because as you went through the old man sequences with reality breaking down, you were starting to see the portraits of the people that you had been trying to figure out the puzzle pieces of getting scratched out. And so all of a sudden there's like a tie-in to that.
Mm-hmm. And so I think again, you're like, what is happening here? Like, it almost feels like the game's been surreal before this, but it feels surreal in a different way. You're like,
yep.
Okay, what does this mean? And then the game jumps back to the start. You've got Carl and June sitting at the dock. It starts to rain. They run to the car. When they get to the car, though, Carl says, I'm going to sit in the passenger seat. And you should drive instead.
Yeah. Which is interesting because he had just looked at, like, the last picture he looked at in June's, like, notebook was him drawn as a superhero. So then it's sort of this, like, oh, we've gone back to, like, the scene of the moment and he's going to sacrifice. Like, it feels like you're now being Carl going back and choosing to be the hero.
Mm-hmm. And you'd seen that picture that she'd drawn of him before this, too. And...
Right.
Just
right.
Having it come back. So Carl switches it. I'm going to be on the passenger side. You're going to drive. When you're in the car with her, you can press a button and it says, tell her. And if you press it, it comes up again still. It comes up like 3 times. And I'm like pressing it like, please tell her, like already like being ready to not do well. I tried to
tell. It's interesting, too, because I read some people online who were thinking that that was a tell her, like, we're going to crash and we should stop and, like, blah, 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 blah. Versus, like, I didn't, even in the moment, even having had played the game this whole time trying to save the both of them, I read that as, like, tell her you love her because you're about to die. Like, that was my interpretation.
Yeah, and it seemed like that's what happened. There's, like, a part where she, like, kisses him or kisses his head or something, I think.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Tell her that you love her. Then, you know, they go through the tunnel. You hear the accident. You wake up and you're in kind of an all-white area and you can see smoke in the distance. And as Carl, you walk towards the smoke. You get there. June's there. And you're a ghost, basically. You're like pale. You look kind of like the memories that we've been gathering before. Mm-hmm. You can see them converse with each other. They hug. June lifts Carl's glasses up, kisses him on the head. You get a quick cut, and it's June at Carl's grave. Carl's glasses are now on his grave. Some music kicks in, which is really mm-hmm. doing it. June stands up. You see that she's pregnant, and like the kind of montage of your kind of in comes in. And oh my gosh, this fucking wrecked me. I was like ugly crying.
Yeah. I don't remember. I definitely got misty eyed. I don't think I was like sobbing, but I do just kind of remember like sitting there, like trying to process and like staring blankly at nothing.
No. Oh yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know why this hit me the way it did, but it really hit me. I was like, what reacted way more than I thought I would. Cause I was like, I kind of thought this is how it would go, but oh man, it packed a fucking punch for me. just in my basement crying. but it hits. Carl did it. He took June's place. That he ends up dying instead. But June is able to live and she's pregnant. Credits roll. And then if you stay on a little longer, it gives you a little epilogue scene, which is June at the dock. She's sitting by herself. She's painting. She's there for a few minutes. And then a little boy walks up who looks like Carl. And he hands her a flower. And they hug. And the epilogue ends.
Very little bittersweet little epilogue.
Mm-hmm. Heavy stuff. For sure. Oh man, what I expected from this game and what I got were two different things. Very much
absolutely
so. Very much so. So yeah, that is Last Day of June. I guess from here we'll jump into kind of general thoughts we had on the game. Anything else we really want to talk about that didn't really come up during the conversation? I think one, just commenting on what we just said, I think that this game really paired like the vibrancy, the color, all of like the, I don't know, positive associations you'd have at looking at this game in tragedy really, really well. Like we commented at the beginning, I'm so glad I didn't know anything about this game because mm-hmm. I think it allowed its punches to land so much for me.
Yeah, I mean, what I ended up having... And part of the reason I'm really glad I did a blind playthrough. So my initial thought, like the night I finished this game in one sitting.
okay, nice.
And yeah, and I like initially was kind of like, oh, cool. Wow. Carl actually managed to like become the hero. He actually like did it and da 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 da. And then I stepped away. And the next day, like, the more I was thinking about it, the more I was like, you know what? I don't know that, I think that's one interpretation. But again, why I think the fact that they did this game without dialogue and without handing you anything definitively, I actually have switched my interpretation to Carl was dead all along. And our process of playing as Carl and trying to change everything and blah, 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 was June processing. Like, that this entire game was us playing through the process of her grief. And that made it hit really powerfully when it's like, you think back to like, you know, thinking through to like, oh, what if Carl had been alive and not me? What if everything had been different? And then you go back and like, what could I have changed? And how, you know, there has to be some way that the events of that day could have been different and we could both be here and everything would be fine. And if he was the only one left, he would be trying to save me. He'd be trying to figure out a way to keep me alive. So I need to do the same for him. And then the thing that locked that in the most for me is that after all of the tell her, the da-da-da-da-da, when you're in the white world where Carl and June interact, you get one more command where you basically press it and it says accept. And that's why I was like, that's June accepting it. That's the process of grief. That's the ending. It was really powerful when I kind of like placed it in that context.
Yeah, no, that is. I didn't think that when I played, but I did see someone online mentioning something similar. It is like that notebook that you see at the end. Like, it was actually June all yeah. along trying to come up with sequences where Carl could live. And so she was, you know, it was like her playing as Carl to try to make that work. And that's what you'd gone through, which, oh my God, like...
And I mean, it then like gives me some context in like, okay, so you're doing the old man part and reality is starting to break down is how you perceive it. But instead, if that was never reality, instead, the fantasy of Carl still being the one who survived and is able to save her somehow is breaking down. And when you go back to Carl and he goes up to the baby's room, that is actual reality breaking through, because June is actually pregnant and gonna have a baby. And so her notebook being in there was June trying to go through all these things. So that is the actual reality coming in now that the cracks in the fantasy have started.
Oh, man. Yeah. So powerful. I think that's the ending I would go with, too. I didn't feel that when I played, but I do think that's probably what I would side with now, too.
It took me a day of processing to get there.
It's so heavy, and just like that this is her processing grief when, just the whole time you'd been playing it the other way, thinking it the other way, but it's how can she accept that this is what happened? How can she move forward with her new family? Family as it is now, I guess. Different family. Oh, fuck. That's so heavy.
But then the process of, like, that's what I love about what they do. I am a sucker for games that can tell a story, but also carry the story into the gameplay to immerse you into the story. Like, this wasn't, I don't know that I would say, like, you know, there are some games like Legend of Zelda will keep Link silent in order to, like, let it be a little bit self-insert and let you feel like a part of it. I don't know that I always, like, buy that, but when the gameplay allows you to kind of self-insert your emotions into what the characters are going through, that's much more effective for immersion for me. And I think this game did that so brilliantly. Like, if you really think about, like, the stages of grief, like, the first thing is, like, shock and sadness, which is when you kind of see Carl waking up alone with the wheelchair and you're like, what happened? Oh my God, this is sad. Whoa. And then there's sort of the denial, which is when you start putting a puzzle together to figure out how to fix a thing that clearly happened. And then there's, like, the anger moment, which is when you're frustrated and the lightning strike still happens and the inevitability starts to set in. And then the final thing is, like, the bargaining, which is where you say, oh, Carl's going to sacrifice himself for her. And then the last button is the acceptance. Like, the gameplay put the same emotions into me because of frustration with a puzzle or because of, like, what it was guiding me through, that somebody in the game, that either Carl or June, whoever's processing their grief, would have been going through. It was really fascinatingly done.
100%. It's so spot on, too. All of those things along the way. Again, like this game that doesn't give you dialogue. It doesn't have voice actors. It doesn't have even text speech, like any of that. It doesn't have any of those things. But all along through Carl/June's journey in this, and even with their side characters, like, you could empathize and feel what they felt, which I don't know if I knew could be done before this. Like, you know, I've had obviously plenty of games that have made me feel things, but they've all done more of the stuff with it. This one didn't, but it still, like, broke through there and told what it did, which is, I mean, really masterful. I'm super impressed.
Yeah, I'm kind of trying to think, because I definitely can think of other games that have had narrative moments where they took me into the emotion of the characters through the gameplay, but this game held it through the entire thing. Like, this, this, like, every bit you were doing tied you into the emotional journey of the character. And so I'm, like, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking back to, like, yeah, like, at the end of the first Last of Us, when you're Joel and you're going to save Ellie in the hospital, like, that is definitely a moment where I was feeling the moral conflict of, like, I feel like these people are just trying to, like, save the world. Am I supposed to be doing this? But also, like, Ellie, like, no. So, like,
right,
that moment took me in. But I don't know that I was literally on the exact same wavelengths of emotion the whole time. There were definitely parts where I was just watching Joel and Ellie's story, you know? Nier Automata did this wonderful moment where one of the characters, like, you're androids, and one of the characters has, like, a virus start infecting her, and it impacts, like, you can't jump properly, and you're moving slower, and you're trying to get somewhere, but it becomes more and more frustrating as the virus is, like, taking over. And, like, my God, the immersion of that moment, the way they did the gameplay there, like, that sort of thing. But I don't know that that happened throughout all of Nier Automata. This is not to say Nier Automata is not in my top five games ever, because it absolutely is. But
no, but
so, like, games have definitely done it for a second for me before, but the way that this one held me in that for, like, 3 hours worth of gameplay is really astonishing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think it goes back to your calling the game simple early on. Of it's simple, and I mean, it stripped off so many gameplay things you can do or things that are common in video games. It only had this certain part of it. It's like, there are some puzzles, we have a story, we're telling it, and we're doing it without words and such. And that you were in there that whole way through. And I think for me, from the, like, which is, I think, what the game wanted, but, you know, at first, oh, nice indie game, it's all going good. Then you're in a wheelchair, and then you have all of this. Like, I had that immediate, yeah. Once you have that wheelchair moment, I'm just full bought in. I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Like,
yeah, the game literally shoves you into a situation where it's like, hey, process this crap that I just threw you into, and also try to figure out what you're doing while you're processing that. Good luck.
Yeah.
Which, frankly, like, having experienced, like, the death of someone close to me, that is very much, like, the first week or two after that death, that's what life feels like. Like, it feels like something just happened, my entire world is shifted, I don't know what do I do minute to minute of life right now? You know what I mean? It's very effective the way they did that.
Yeah, how do you go forward? How can, I don't know, doing regular shit, thinking complex things like some of the puzzles. You're like, how can I do this? Like, I'm hurting. How do you, like, keep going, sort of thing? Which, oh man, yeah, they totally, yeah, I'm just thoroughly impressed with this game. I think for me, like, I haven't played a ton of games yet in 2021, but this one's definitely my favorite one I've played so far. Like, I think just everything it's, like, pulled, what it made me feel, and, like, the experience of it, like, it's so good, and I wish more people talked about it. Like, I was looking on Reddit, and there's a subreddit with 3 people for it. Like, who the fuck? People need to play this game. Like, it's very, very worthy of the 3 hours. And ideally, I mean, if they're here and they're hearing this, they obviously already had the game spoiled. But if they could play it like you and I did, not knowing, oh man, it's so, so worthy.
Yeah, I think it's I'm just trying to think if I have played any new games in 2021. The worst thing, I don't know, worst, that's like codifying it in a way I don't know is true. But the pandemic kind of put me in this headspace of I've only been playing games I'm familiar with for the most part. So I'm not sure I've really played anything else new this year. So, like, when I say it's my favorite game of 2021, there's a bit of, like, it also doesn't have any competitions, but that's not to take away from, like, that it's a very good game.
No, that's totally fair. I don't feel like I've watched, I've played a lot of new games, but I don't think I've watched, like, almost any new TV since pandemic's going. It's like, I want familiar.
Yeah, no, I've been watching, like,
I want familiar
old
stuff.
Familiar comedies. I would like light, I would like to laugh, and I would like to know what's coming.
100%. It's like I've rewatched a lot of New Girl, and so that's been kind of my thing in that realm. And then for some reason, I've been rewatching Walking Dead, which is obviously not fun, but it's familiar. So
yeah,
I think it.
But if you're familiar, then it's, like, different.
Yeah, I think because it's familiar, I like it in that way. But yeah, but I totally agree. Familiar, like, has been necessary for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm glad that we touched this. I'm glad that I got to experience this. This just continues my general theory about the gaming industry right now, that indies are where it's at, and that I care less and less about AAA games every month.
Oh, yeah. I think that with indies, it's cool that, like, I don't know, they're going places that you wouldn't go. You know, if you threw more money into this game, you would, I don't know, probably have potentially, like, famous voice actors in it or, like, different things like that. But I don't know if it would make it better. It might even make it worse.
Yeah, I almost kind of like it being small and pared down. That's the thing, is I think for me, the AAA games have started to feel a little bit, and this is not in all cases, and this is a large generalization, I understand, but, like, it starts to feel a little formulaic and a little, like, almost overproduced. Like, everything, they're trying to get the most photorealistic graphics possible, and they're trying to get the biggest voice actors and perfect motion capture, and ultimately it takes away from just, like, the simplicity of telling a story well sometimes. Versus indie games are, like, taking risks, doing things that are pared down like this with no dialogue. Hades, I don't play any game for more than 2 months, and I played Hades for 7 months straight. Like, indie games for me are where it's at. And indie games are doing like representation, which is such a massive thing for me in gaming in terms of like diversity and representation in video games. Like the AAA studios, for whatever reason in 2021, are still like afraid to do that, but indie games are doing it. So I don't know. I am a big Indian game. What's happening? I'm a big indie game championer right now.
Yeah, I am too. I like you said, diversity is definitely better among indie games. I like too that a lot of indie games give me shorter experiences, something like this, right? You could play this in one sitting. I think I played it in two. That's super helpful. Like, you know, on the side, I started playing Red Dead Redemption 2 recently, but I know that game's like 50 hours at least. And so
yeah, that's like an investment.
That's an investment. I'm going to finish that in several months, if not longer, kind of thing. Versus this, it's like, I could go and really experience something on my Saturday afternoon that's meaningful and valuable. And I'm really glad that indie studios are doing that. And I'm glad that we have the internet where people can really call out these indie games that need played. That there are people saying, this game is impactful, you should play it. Or, you know, whatever, that you'll hear about them, because there are so many indie games that come out that can be sort of needle in a haystack feeling, but thankfully, like Twitter, Reddit, whatever, like you're able to find out about them. And I don't know. I'm really glad for indie games. I'm glad for this one. Whatever game they make next, I'm definitely going to pick it up. Like, probably just buy it day one, so I buy something full price from them since I bought this on sale. Like,
yeah, definitely.
You know, I want them to have my money. Like, most certainly. I want them to keep creating and doing that. Like, it's cool.
Yeah, it's very much like the kind of thing where it's like, I want to encourage this kind of work to keep happening. If they're going to put out something of this quality and this type, I'm interested to see what they're doing next. And yeah, like, they need my money far more than like Sony does.
Right, yeah. Sony's going to be fine if they get my money now or never. Exactly. Or somewhere in between. Like, they're not going anywhere, but this studio, like...
Yeah, I'm unemployed. I don't have $60 for you, Sony. Get away from me. You should be giving me stimulus checks.
We recognize you're a loyal gamer. We're sending you one free copy of blah, blah, blah.
I wish.
Oh, yeah, that would be great. I guess they did that thing... last year where they gave the Uncharted collection away for free, which was cool, but I already had it, so it didn't matter, but it was cool they did it.
Yeah, same.
I was like, Sony, you're cool for that. I already got it, but I appreciate that you did that.
I was like, cool, thanks. That's great. I'm glad more people have access. I have all four games sitting right here on my shelf. I can look at them right now.
Right. I have them with me now. No, yeah, I feel like I hit up stuff, everything I'd have about Last Day of June. Do you have any other things that you wanted to talk about this game?
No, I think that was like, that covered a lot of it. The one thing I will say is that I was surprised that because, and I imagine that this is because the narrative being tied into the gameplay made the narrative so central and important, as opposed to just the game itself, that when I didn't find all the memories, like, I'm usually an OCD kind of completionist. Like, I need to get all the things. So the fact that I finished this game with two memories missing and then didn't care and was like, fine, I was like, okay, so they really actually managed to prioritize like the story for me over like elements of a game.
That's crazy. That's interesting that,
yeah,
that you were able to just be like, whatever, it's fine, I need to keep going, and that they like had you drawn in that much. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super cool. Cool. Well, that's Last Day of June for us. I guess when it comes to Andrew, one thing, again, mentioned off top, but Good Game, Great Game episodes are still up. Definitely go check those out. Many reoccurring appearances on Games and Groceries, for sure, among other podcasts too. But you can find Andrew on other podcast episodes. Definitely hit those up. Where can people find you? Do you have other stuff that you'd like to promote? Anything like that?
Yeah. So, I mean, if I'm not a big social media person, but Twitter is probably the one I use the most. So if you want to follow on Twitter, it's just at Andrew Orsi. I'm also the main thing I've been doing because the pandemic took my job away because I worked on Broadway. The main thing I've put any of my time and energy into is an a cappella group that I do like covers of contemporary tracks with. So they're called Black to Gold. You can find us on Instagram at Black to Gold Music. And we've also got a couple singles on Spotify. So, like, we're really fancy. so I don't know if you, like music and you want to hear that. That's out there. And there's a world where I might sometimes occasionally start streaming on Twitch sometime. That's not a commitment to do that. Don't hold me to it. But follow me on Twitter for updates on the possibility of that, I guess.
Okay, awesome. No, that sounds sweet. I like that. And I'll on Twitter, Andrew will be tagged in there, and in the show notes, I'll have links to that stuff too. So definitely check out Andrew's stuff. Andrew's an awesome guy. It was fun getting to chat with him about Last Day of June. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad we got to do it.
I know, for real. I'm glad that we finally made it happen. Super stoked about that. And then lastly, for us, if you want to find a backlog of our episodes, you can do that wherever you get podcasts or on our website, thegreateststoryeverplayed.com. If you'd like to rate and review us, you could do that at Apple Podcast or Podchaser, wherever you get your podcast. That would be super helpful if you'd like to do that. If you'd like to financially support the podcast, you could do that at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. There, for as little as $1 per month, that will get you access to monthly bonus episodes we do. So we've done things like talking about our favorite characters in gaming, we talked about our favorite Pokemon, stuff like that. So if that interests you, that is there. Go check that out. Our Twitter's at StoryEverPod, so you can tweet at me there. Love to talk about Last Day of June or other recommendations you might have. That'd be cool. And yeah, that's the episode, and we'll see you next time.